Gardening with Gavin from Lee Rowan's Garden World.
It's a Wednesday afternoon and we usually talk to Gavin from Lee Rowan's Garden World. He joins us this afternoon. Hi mate, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. I don't know whether you think it, but it seems to be coming up quicker and quicker.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, weeks go quickly, quickly. They always say, I think there's a name for that, that the days and the years go quicker or seem to go quicker the older we get.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
Today, we're talking about the wonderful world of natives.
Well, yes. I mean, they're coming into their own at this time of year. Natives are looking beautiful around the place and in the nursery at the moment. They're all springing into flower. So I thought, well, now is the time to mention them. And there's so many different ones you can get. And there's some lovely ones out there. You know, we can grow natives along here, coastal as well as more inland. It doesn't really matter what type of soil you can get a native to suit. If you're on the beach, you can get beautiful scabolias, or what we would know as native fan flowers. They come in the blue and the white. They're a fantastic ground cover. They love sand. If you're in Stockton or Caves Beach or Redhead, you can grow these beautiful. If you had a shadier spot, there's a fantastic little native ground cover called a native violet, a viola, which is fantastic for shade. Flowers nearly all year round, grows with runners like strawberries, and you can end up with a whole mat of it on the ground in that shadier spot. You know, there's some fabulous ones. You look into the kangaroo paws there, they're madly flowering now, and there's so many different colours in them, from bright yellows to oranges to these new green and turquoise ones, and they're looking their best at this time of year, which is why I thought I'd mention it. You can fill your garden with some fantastic colour at this time of year. Grevilleas, now, you know, grevilleas will grow anywhere where there's good drainage. And of course, there's everything from ground cover grevilleas to cover a bank with, right up to the old silky oak trees that are lining the streets up in Greta. And they are incredibly tough. Most of these new varieties, you know, that you can get that average between a metre and a half to, say, 3 metres, there's oranges, there's yellows, there's honey-coloured ones, and they're literally dripping with nectar for all these beautiful little nectar birds that run around. You can fill your garden with birds with just a few really nice grevilleas. There's some lovely varieties. Callistemons, you know, everything from a little bottle brush called Little John, which only grows to about a half a metre, that has a really dark blood red brush, right up to the beautiful big weeping Dawson River weepers that you see on the sides of rivers. Really soft, lush foliage coming down, and of course everything in between. You know, bottle brush are a fantastic, very, very tough native. I love the Westringes, which is the coastal rosemaries. They're bringing out more and more varieties of those. They've got a lovely grey foliage and either a white or a lavender flower, commonly known as the coastal rosemary, because they're a fantastic plant for that coastal fringe. You can trim them up and grow them like a small native hedge, or you can just let them go into quite a bush. Very, very nice. And of course, my favourite native of all time is the lily pillies. Now, there's so many lily pillies, and of course, as we know, there's 50, 60, 70 different varieties that grow naturally up and down the east coast of Australia. So we know they're very tough. We know they grow in the area. And of course, if you wanted a native in the garden as a screen, they are probably the best one you could possibly use. They've just released a new one into the nurseries called Cherry Bomb. Now, Cherry Bomb gets its name because it has this beautiful cherry-coloured new foliage. It's very easily trimmed up, and it makes a really good screen or even a privacy hedge at around the 3 to 4 metre mark. Now, don't be afraid to trim these back. The best time to trim back any native is after it's had its big burst of flowering. Now, most natives, of course, will spot flower for months and months and months, but they'll always have this big burst of flower at this time of year to herald spring, and after that is when you give them a light trim. Now, the secret with natives is if you do want to trim them so they don't get too out there and a bit wild, is to trim them a little bit more often instead of a whole lot at once. It's not like a rose, for example, that you cut back very severely in the middle of winter. Natives are something that you basically lightly trim back after they flower, just to keep them in shape. There's a lovely one. Even when we go up to like a street tree, there's a beautiful native called the Tuckaroo, which I'm quite fond of. Used a lot around Newcastle. Capeniopsis or Tuckaroo, great lawn tree or street tree. Again, get them started, look after them for the first 6 months, and then they're right to go on their own.
I think I've got a couple of those, haven't I?
I think you do.
Yeah, they're nice.
Beautiful, nice. Very good, very easy to grow. And as I said, they make a beautiful street tree, a lawn specimen. You can do almost anything with them. They don't have a terrible root system that's going to cause problems down the track. And they're a really nice shade tree. But at the moment, you know, the pick of them at the moment are the grevilleas with those beautiful nectar flowers and, of course, the kangaroo paws. Now, they're both looking fantastic at present, and they'll be in stores at this time of year, flowering madly.
Can I ask you, is it true that the natives grow quickly?
Yeah, generally, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
They're in tune with our climate. It's not like you're bringing something in from outside of our climate and trying to make it here, which is why some plants grow a lot slower than what they would in their native or their natural environment, because we're not quite the right climate for them. And let's face it, look, Australia is a big place. There's a lot of different climates within Australia, such as, say, the rainforests of Cairns or those beautiful wildflowers that grow in Western Australia. Now, I purposely didn't mention those, the Baronias and the Geraldton Wax, because they tend to like a very gritty, sandy soil, and that we generally don't have a lot of. So if you're going to try those, make sure you either put them in a pot, and another thing, if you're using natives in a pot, make sure you use a native, what they call a native planting mix. It comes in the same bag as the potting mix, but of course it's sandier and grittier, so it gives them what they like. And of course, being in a pot, they would permanently have good drainage, so that would be the way to try those. But we really do have a diverse area, and I tried to stick to the natives that I know that will grow up and down the east coast here.
The other thing I was going to ask you was, natives, one would be of the impression that you don't need to give them as much water as non-natives.
Once they're established, that is correct. But, of course, we always have to establish a plant first. So pretty much for the first 6 months, you would treat them as you would any other plant that you very first put in. So a bit of looking after, a bit of nurturing to get them going. But then it comes to say, well, they're a native, they're in tune with the climate, they should then go off and do their own thing, which is a good idea, because natives don't like to be fiddled around with, let's face it. Once you put them in, you get them growing, you give them a light trim after flowering, keep them in their shape, but you really don't have to do much more to them. The only ones I would say would be an exception to that would be lily pillies, because everybody wants that nice thick hedge. So if I was growing a lily pilly, I would tend to feed it every 6 months, spring and autumn, but you'd have to make sure you use something totally organic, like a cow manure or a blood and bone, or my friend that I love more than anything, the 5-in-1 pellets, because I know they're completely organic and they can't possibly hurt anything. But that would pretty much be the exception.
With lily pillies, if you're going to grow them in a hedge, how close together should you plant them?
Okay, now that can sometimes depend on how high you actually want that screen or hedge to go, because of course the higher you go, the further you put them apart.
Right.
So you can have them as close as say 700 if you're only going less than about a metre and a half high, but then if you're going and you say to me, well, I'd like a 3 metre hedge, I'd probably go about a metre apart.
And how long would it take you to get that 3 metre hedge if you were to plant them? Is it something that will take, you know, a couple of years?
Well, yeah. So even with a native, you'd still expect at least a couple of years to get to that high.
Right.
And of course, with natives, the thing is too, going bigger isn't necessarily quicker, because natives don't necessarily like to be planted or moved when they're large. You know, so sometimes when you buy these things, you're far better off to buy the smaller ones, put them in, get them going, and they will actually take off quicker than if you were to, say, buy, you know, a couple of $100 one in a big pot that's already a metre and a half, 2 metres high, and think you're doing yourself a favour. It will actually take longer to get going because of that, of that transplanting shock. They suffer that more when they're bigger than when they're smaller. So, you know, it's why the forestry puts all their stuff in tube stock, because it definitely takes off quicker. The ideal size really would probably be either, say, for example, a 150 or 6-inch pot to an 8-inch pot. Our bulk sell in an 8-inch pot or 200 mil, and they're about, you know, 900 to a metre out of the pot, and that seems to be the optimum size to get good growth, very quick growth, and achieve the result in the quickest possible way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Natives, it's one of those things that if you do it properly, you'll have them for a long time. Or is that
Absolutely.
Not true? Because
no,
they grow quicker, do they die quicker? Do they die off quicker?
Now, only certain varieties. Now, if you've noticed, I haven't mentioned wattles. Now, wattles are lovely to look at in the bush, but they only have a short life of 8 to 10 years, and they get very woody very quickly. In fact, most wattles would die out or get very woody and die out within 10 years. Why they don't in the bush, of course, is they seed themselves, and you've got new ones coming up constantly underneath. So you always seem to have them. But in the home garden, of course, that doesn't necessarily happen. The most wattles that you tend to find in nurseries now are little dwarf ones, and the little dwarf ones really aren't necessarily grown for their flowers as much as their shape and their foliage. There's a funny little native wattle called a fettuccine, which has like a fettuccine pasta type foliage, but it's really grown for the foliage, not necessarily the flowers anymore. Yes, they do tend to have a shorter shelf life. And of course, a lot of natives like grevilleas will certainly have a shorter life if you water them too much, which is why you should really let them go on their way once you get them established.
Okay. That's the best thing to do, isn't it? Let them get on their way, and then you don't have to water them as much, and they'll be very happy.
Exactly right. They tend to like looking after themselves, and as I said, they really don't like to be dug around. They don't like to be all sorts of things done to them. You get them started, you get them moving, you get them growing, and then you leave them alone.
Okay. That's the wonderful world of natives. With Gavin, here comes the plug.
Okay, and you can see these things at our main office here at 381 Hillsborough Road at Warners Bay, at the bottom end of Hillsborough Road at the Warners Bay end, and also at 72 Pacific Highway at Arimba at our fabulous store on the Central Coast.
How difficult is it to transplant something? Does it depend on the plant? I mean, I've got this, it's not a grass, it's, I don't know what the name of the darn thing is, but they grow really, really big. They're green. I was just trying to look for the name of the darn things.
Yeah.
And they come in two varieties. They come in the variegated, and so there's the variegated version, and then there's just the green version, and they're... what would they look like? I don't know. It looks like a strong version of an agave, but they grow really, really big. Are they difficult? And they're hard leaves. Like an agave is soft. These are hard fern type leaves. Oh, are these things difficult to transplant or not?
Not normally. All you generally do is pick the right time of year. Make sure you get the biggest amount of roots that you can possibly get out of the ground to match the top.
Right.
And, of course, make sure it's not a native, because natives don't like to be transplanted when they're big.
Yeah, okay. I'll try and find out what the...
Try and find out what it is. Let me know next time.
I will. And see what we do, because it's one of those things that I keep saying to my wife, because it's grown so big, it covers a sign. And I keep saying to her, we've got to move that, because it looks ugly if you cut it back. Anyway, a different sub...
exactly what it is.
I will.
And I'd be very interested, and we'll see what we can do with it.
All right, mate. I'll find out. Good to talk to you as always, Gavin. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Thank you, mate.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Gavin. Jizzy knows his stuff, doesn't he?